So yeah. So my sermon's name today is an unfair battle, because God's not fair. And if you don't know me, I'm Shania. I'm pretty funny. You should get to know me. We'd be good friends. And honestly, when I heard that I have to speak for this long, I thought of like putting those like TikTok ASMR videos on the screen so people can actually pay attention. Because I know you guys don't like paying it. I mean, I don't like paying attention to things. It's like, it's a lot of talking. But I figured, nah, why would I do that? So I figured I'd tell you something stupid about me, just because, you know, we can know each other pretty good before I start yapping. And yeah, so when I was little, I was like 3 years old, I went potty, right? And I went to the bathroom, and I thought I was going to be really cool. So I put baby butt cream on my face, put it all over my face, lathered it in, and then I put baby butt powder on my face, you know, like setting powder, right? Yeah, and I thought, you know, I could wear makeup, I could be super duper cool. And then I went on the toy, and you know how like in the comic books, like you reach for, like in the movies, they're always like reading comic books while they're taking a dookie. Yeah, so I reached for a comic book that was like on the side of like the sink. I reached for it and I fall head first off the toilet. So I like dove right off the toilet. My face was bleeding, and my parents said I looked like the Joker. They couldn't even find where the blood was coming from. It was just a tiny little crack. But because my entire face was covered in white baby butt powder and baby butt cream, nobody could find it. And it was really funny. And my sister, this is like during lunchtime. My sister, she loves pasta. She was over there eating her pasta. She eats it every day now. It's like, it's really annoying. But so she was over there eating her pasta. My parents hear me, like, hear a big thud, and they're like, bleh, and I go, ah, and then my sister's like there, and she's like, what's happening? And they're like, it's okay, just stay here. And they gave her a little lollipop, and she's like, okay. And then, like, they brought me out, and she sees my face bleeding. She's like, you look funny. It's the love of sister. And so I have some random, oh, yeah, also, I put a little capybara on the screen, because why not? It's not my favorite animal, but it's just a funny animal. So I figured, before we do this, I'm going to show you guys some random Jesus memes that I found, because why not? So, yeah. Jack can show us those. We can say, wait, we can do this. Everybody say, hit that meme, Jack. Oh, yeah. So here, sending out the world's first tweet. So I asked this dude what his name is, and he tells me it's Simon. Then I was like, that name sucks. I'm going to call you Peter. Oh, burn. Yeah. I just thought those were fun. So you guys know the whole armor of God, like in the scriptures? So like it's in Ephesians 6 and it's 10 through 18, NLT. A final word, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on all of God's armor so that you will be able to stand firm against all strategies of the devil. For we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places. Therefore, put on every piece of God's armor so you will be able to resist the enemy in the time of evil. Then after the battle, you will be standing firm. Stand your ground, putting on the belt of truth, and the body armor of God's righteousness. For shoes, put on the peace that comes from good news, so that you will be fully prepared. In addition to all of these, hold up the shield of faith to stop the fiery arrows of the devil. Put on salvation as your helmet, and take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Pray in the Spirit at all times and on every occasion. Stay alert and be persistent in your prayers for all believers everywhere. So we have the armor of God, the belt of truth, body armor or breastplate of righteousness, the shoes of peace, the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. I like the way the NLT version says it, because instead of saying the helmet of salvation, it says put on salvation as your helmet. And instead of saying the shoes of peace, it says for shoes, put on the peace that comes from the good news of God. This is literally a mental battle. Even if you had passed away, you would still go to heaven, you would still be saved and get to live eternity in paradise. The devil doesn't win by people dying. The devil, because when believers pass away, the devil loses his chance to get those people away from God. His goal is literally to take away the children of God and keep them from heaven. You are God's creation, and he loves you more than anything. And the devil's going to try to take you down with him because that's all he has left. And he's kind of a wimp, in my opinion. But yeah. And God made you all individually to be different and unique. So your job is to stay strong and not let the devil bring you down. I'm from Tulsa. Yeah, which is fun. I like calling you guys hillbillies because it's like, don't know, I'm a city girl. But we have this church guy, well, this church is called Life Church. It's all over. There's a bunch of different campuses, probably like 30. And the leader, or like the pastor of that church, his name is Craig Groeschel. He said, your enemy won't attack you because you're weak. Your enemy is attacking you because you're a warrior. You're a warrior of God. And when you stay strong, the devil will try all his tricks, but he can try all he wants because it won't work if you're grounded in God. Your enemy is attacking you because you are a warrior. So use what you've been equipped with, and this is your protection. The belt of truth, breastplate of righteousness, shoes of peace, the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, your armor. This is what God has equipped you with to be able to withstand the tricks and fights of the devil. The devil already knows he's lost. He's just trying to take as many people down with him. So our goal is to stand strong in our faith and in our God. You keep peace for shoes. So you keep strong, don't let anything bad affect you. I try to think of it as being untouchable. Like, have you seen that meme with the guy in his house and everything around him is on fire? And he's like, this is fine. Have you seen that? Probably, maybe, not really. So he's like just sitting in his house. It's like, yeah. And he's just like, this is fine. Like, my house is on fire. I'm just going to chill here, drink my coffee, whatever. Well, yeah, it's kind of like that. Like, oh, my house is on fire. Well, that's fine. It can't touch me. It's like all the bad things the devil tries to throw at you start chaos around you, and like your whole world is burning down. But guess what? You don't have to let it touch you, and you know it. It can't touch you unless you let it. You have God inside of you, and it's like in Philippians 4:13, which says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I have God inside of me, and with that, I can do anything, and nothing can hurt me. So think of the meme. Your whole world is on fire. You know that you're untouchable because God is your bodyguard. Imagine that literally the creator of the heaven and earth and the whole universe and all 8 billion of us is our bodyguard who fights for us and dies for us so we don't have to. Why would you even need to be afraid when you have the literal creator of the universe standing in front of you and guarding you? You keep salvation to protect your head, your brains, where everything's connected. All the smart people have those. Yeah. You know, I looked up the definition of salvation because it kind of sounds like an old people word, like something Bill or Amanda would say. But, guys, it's actually kind of cool. Like, the definition of salvation in the Oxford Dictionary is preservation or deliverance from harm, ruin, or loss. That's the non-biblical definition. The theology-based definition is, in the Oxford Dictionary, is deliverance from sin and its consequences. And the definition of deliverance is to be set free. So, basically, salvation is to be set free from your sin. That's how you protect your mind from harm. Then you have the belt of truth. It's not just a belt to keep your pants on so you don't have a whole mooning situation, which is, I don't know. It guards your entire stomach, all your organs, your ribs, and probably a whole lot more. I don't really do like the whole, I don't know. There's a lot of stuff. You guard yourself by speaking and believing the truth. Not just by telling others the truth and not lying, but also telling yourself the truth. You know how sometimes when you do wrong, you try to tell yourself that what you did is right, and the more you do it, the more you believe it? That's deceiving yourself. You're trying to lie to yourself and make you believe the wrong, so speak the truth to yourself. And there's another way of lying to yourself, starting to believe the mean things that other people tell you or the devil tells you. Maybe I am ugly. Maybe I don't deserve Jesus. Maybe if I die, no one will care, and the world will be better off. Maybe Jesus does hate me because of my past. Those are all lies. So instead, tell yourself the truth. Or I like to think, what would Jesus do? Like, you know those like cool shirts and bracelets and tattoos some people have? What would Jesus do? Well, he would say, I am worth it. I deserve more than this. He would say, I'm loved. He would say, I deserve life. He would say, I'm beautiful no matter what. He would say, he loves us and is just glad we're home. You could back it all up with the Bible to help believe the truth as well. Like in Ephesians 2:10, it says, I'm God's masterpiece. Psalm 139:24 says, I am fearfully, wonderfully made in the image of God. Proverbs 31:25 says, we are clothed with strength and dignity. And there's so much more than that. You can literally just Google scriptures on beauty, scriptures on wisdom, scriptures on whatever, self-affirming scriptures. The Bible is a truth, and we can use it. You know the prodigal son? Well, if not, these boys have a little story for you. So, yeah. Can I have Kyle, Bill, Jeremiah, and Cecil come up? Wait, let me get your little thingy. Hold on. I'll get it for you. Can you hold that?
Yeah, sure. Oh, are you the narrator?
No, no. I need a pig sign. I'm the pig.
You're a pig?
Yeah.
Nobody tells you.
I think.
That's over here.
Okay. You're doing great. Awesome.
I did give it to you. Gosh.
Do I say something?
Yeah, you're the father.
Oh, yeah.
Gosh.
Been trying to steer away from labels, and here we are.
Are we ready, team?
Yeah.
They're a little shy.
Okay.
My lines. I just found out I had lines.
Huh?
I just found out I had lines.
Say who you are first, because we can't read them.
That's a good point.
Narrator. Okay. Jesus said, "There was a man who had two sons." Can you say two? Sons. The younger one said to his father,
"I'm the son. Pops, just give me the money already. I know you're not dead yet, but you're so old you might as well be."
Wow.
So the father divided his property between the two, say two, brothers. Not long after that, the younger son said,
"Bro, I'm bored of this boring rich people's life. Jeremy, go grab all my money and fancy stuff and pack it up for me. I'm leaving."
The father was sad to hear this, and he said,
"Luke, I am your father." Are you Luke?
Yeah.
Yeah. "Okay, sonny boy. I love you and I will miss you. Won't you please stay and help me tend the house?"
"Ooh, cringe, bro. Sounds like a gross idea. Plus, you're just an old hag and that's lame. I'm leaving. Jeremy."
So Jeremy packed up the son's stuff, and the son left for the big city of whatchamacallit?
Las Vegas. Drop them. Son.
"Whoa, this place is lit and dripping. I never want to leave."
So the son went on to spend all of his money that he had took with him from the father on spending on fancy clothes and other cool stuff. Also, the hotels in the town of whatchamacallit are really, really overexpensive. But the son says,
"I don't care about all that because I'm rich, and worrying about money is for those lame poor people. And my dad, even though he's got lots of money, but he's just weird and I'm not."
So, the idiot son spends all of his money and ends up having to get a job tending the pigs in exchange for a place to stay.
This is so lame.
So the more than idiot son starts getting kind of hungry because, well, he can't afford food.
Oh my gosh, bro, I'm so hungry, but there's nothing to eat. I could literally eat Kevin right now. Kevin the pig.
I am Kevin the pig. Oink!
Or worse, I'll have to eat Kevin's food.
Oink!
Kevin got a little angry, and he started to realize.
Man, this sucks. I miss my old life where I had a loving father and food on the table every day. Honestly, just being a servant there at my father's house is better than this. I don't deserve to be his son, so I'm just going to go home and tell my dad I'm sorry. I messed up. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Just make me one of your servants.
But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. And the son said to him,
"But Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son."
But instead of yelling at his son and throwing him into a room to serve the father for the rest of his life, the father said to his servants,
"Quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring Kevin, the pig, and kill it. Let's eat till we throw up, then eat some more. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. And he was found, he was lost and is found." So they began to celebrate. And you guys are everyone. You got to dance.
Everyone dance.
Dance. Cue music.
The end.
Yeah, they were really excited for that. They practiced it a lot. It's like they have a little bit of stage fright because people are scary and yeah, but they did okay, I'd say. Yeah, probably. What? Poor Kevin. He's right there. So basically, the son believed that he would never be worthy enough to go home after what he did. But he was not, or he was, and not only that, he was celebrated, and he had a feast. He ate Kevin. This is a parable that Jesus created to show the love of God. No matter what you do, God will always love you, and he celebrates everyone that turns to him. And no matter what, he will always love you. I think that's kind of crazy. Like, imagine the worst thing you could ever do, and the creator of the universe still willing to die for you. That sounds kind of like almost impossible. Anyways, the prodigal son believed that he could never deserve his father's love. But in the end, he got not only invited back, but celebrated. So the prodigal son lied to himself. Can you imagine what it would have been like if he didn't believe that lie? You could even say the devil lied to him, because sometimes the devil will get in your head and will say things that aren't true. He wouldn't have had to go through any of the bad stuff that happened, even if he deserved it. So basically, be truthful to everyone, including yourself. Then we have the breastplate of righteousness. Righteousness is defined as the quality of being morally right or justifiable. So you're giving justice to what deserves justice and doing what is right. It kind of goes with the belt of truth. But if you do something that you know is wrong, and that isn't, then that isn't morally right. If you take advantage of people or mock people or steal, that probably isn't morally right. And we're all humans. There's not a single person that hasn't done something unrighteous, except Jesus, of course. But this is your armor and how you guard your heart. If you didn't know this, I'm a karate and jiu-jitsu instructor. And we always say, guard your heart, whether that's physically or mentally. We always say, keep your hands up, guard your heart. You always want to be wise with your decisions and guard your heart. And being righteous is your armor. Doing right and standing up for what you know is right is how you guard your heart. There's a song, Hope, from NF, and it's one of my favorite songs, actually. It has a part where he talks about a person and the definition of success. And he explains it as someone that can stand up for what you know is right while everybody else is tucking their tails between their legs. The shield of faith. It even says in the beginning of the scripture, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Having faith is huge. Being able to say, God, I trust you with my life is really hard. And a lot of people take it for granted. And when they get asked to do something tough or their faith gets tested, they get scared and run away. Wimps. I'm kidding, but they don't kind of. One time, a little while ago, I was at Arby's, and I saw this lady, and I felt this push in my heart saying, go talk to her. Go talk to her about Jesus. I ignored it, and I was waiting for my order, and I just couldn't get her off my mind. I was like, but God, I don't want to. What if she gets mad? I told him, God, I trust you. I trust you, but what if she cusses me out? What if she hates me or hits me? What if, what if, what if? And then someone yells, order number 38, and I go, oh yay, that's me. And I take my food and I walk out the door. And I still think of that lady every single day and pray for her when I remember, and I regret it every day. And I'm sure that God was able to speak to her in another way, but it would have been cool if that could have been me. And even some of the biggest prophets in the Bible struggle with their faith. So like there's this story of Jonah, if he had an iPhone. Wait, so everybody say, hit that video, DJ Jack. 3, 2, 1. There you go. See, I'm better than Gene. Now I just wait in awkward silence. Yeah. What?
Okay, we're going to say, Jack, play that funky music, white boy. Ready? 1, 2, 3. Yeah. Play that funky music, white boy.
It blinked. Huh? What? Funky music? That funky Jesus music. No? Oh. Give me that hit, that rock, that funky song. Give me that spooky funk, give me that funky. Yeah. Technical difficulties. Yeah. Oh no. Who liked Jeremiah's message yesterday? Well, I liked it. I think it was pretty cool. It's really hard for me to pay attention, and which is why I get it. But I actually paid attention. Just like, it's a compliment and so on. But
so, fam, Jonah here. So, God said, go to Nineveh. Yeah, flight pass. Go run. Wish me luck.
Just booked a one-way trip. Destination, not Nineveh. Let's see if this works. Okay, so, apparently there's a huge storm up top. Me, I'm vibing down here. Nat game strong. Hit subscribe for more travel updates. So, turns out this storm, kind of my fault. Should I just jump? Well, booked a trip to Tarshish. Now I'm getting, unbooked. Overboard we go, I guess. See ya. So, quick update. Inside a giant fish now.
Yep. Should have just listened to God. My bad, Lord. Super sorry. Lesson learned. Lord, I was wrong. Please forgive me. I will go to Nineveh. Just deliver me from this place.
Ugh. Okay, update. Out of the fish, alive, praise God. Nineveh, here I come, after some serious cleanup. All right, in Nineveh.
preach. Super excited, can't you tell? Yeah, me neither. So they repented. God showed mercy. Guess I'm just out here now waiting for the city to maybe still burn. Not looking good, though. Anyway, if you enjoyed this wild ride, like and follow for more prophet content. Maybe next time, I'll actually listen to God. No promises.
So it's like the story of Jonah. Jonah was a man who loved God, but one day God asked Jonah to go to preach to these scary people called the Ninevites. He got really scared. I mean, like in VeggieTales, they even slapped each other with fish. It was really bad. So he was like, sure, God, I'll do that for you. Even though he was probably thinking, no way, Jose, I love you, but God, I could die. So he decided to go on a ship to somewhere far away and run away. That didn't end up working for him, and he got swallowed by a big fish and lived inside of it for 3 days. In the end, he went to Nineveh and preached and changed lots of lives and made a huge impact. But he doubted God for a second, and it didn't get him very far. Having faith is like putting your entire life in someone else's hands. I like plants. Like, I name them, baby talk them, shower them, and in the mornings they give them little pep talks. Some would say I'm obsessed. I disagree, but whatever. If I were to put my plants in someone else's hands, I would, in a single fleck of their root was messed up, I would notice and freak out. I'd yell at them. I'd probably, I don't know, I'd get really mad. Now, imagine putting your entire life in someone else's hands. Imagine, like, God telling you, you know what, go to one of the worst countries in the world and go preach to the satanic people. Or imagine God saying, like in Abraham, where God says, sacrifice your son. And in the end, he didn't have to sacrifice his son, but having that faith is really hard. So I want a faith like David. David was a tiny little shepherd boy, he's a little scrawny kid, and there was this war, and, you know, everybody was like, nah, David, just go stay with your little sheep boy. And so he was like, but I want to go fight. And they were like, ew, you can't fight. Like, you're just going to die. Like, trust me, just chill, man. And so then in the end, and there was this guy, Goliath, and he was like, who will fight me? And everybody was like, ah, and he's like, wimps. And then he was like, oh, and then David goes to the king, and he goes, I'll fight him. And the king is like, I guess you're our last hope. And so the king tries to give him all his armor, and he's like, I don't need armor, I'm too good for that. Or kind of, yeah. And then he goes to the creek, and he gets 5 little pebbles. And everybody's like, ew, pebbles, like, what are you going to do with that? It's like, he must be losing his marbles. And he goes up to Goliath, and Goliath goes, this scrawny kid, he's going to fight me. Okay, let's do this, man. I'll go easy. And David goes up to him, and he goes, bam, and then Goliath goes, ah, and Goliath dies, and David wins, and yay. And David gets to be one of the greatest kings. Go King David, yeah. GG. And so he had faith, because everybody was like, you can't do it. You're not going to make it. Like, you suck. Like, you're too tiny for this. And, you know, God was like, I'm taking that kid. He's beating up that big guy. It's like imagine Jeremiah, but like 2 sizes bigger than that. It's like scary. I wouldn't want to fight Jeremiah. Yeah. And so he had a lot of faith, and having that faith is crazy, and it's actually like, it's kind of raining. I didn't realize that. But and he was like, I don't know. It's just really hard putting that life into God's hands. But here's the thing. A lot of people will put their faith and their life into the world's hands, and they'll put their life into just the people around them, which is all right, but God created every single person, and God knows what's gonna happen. He knows what has happened. He knows every single sin you've done. He still loves you no matter what, and he's the person you wanna put your faith in. Yeah, and then we have the sword of the Spirit. The sword of the Spirit is the word of God. So the Bible, what God speaks to you, it is what, like, it is the Bible. And how do you even know that the Bible exists? Well, here's the thing. There's 24,000 cross references. So, like, all these little, like, so all the books were kind of found at different times, and they were found in, like, separate scrolls. So they weren't together in the beginning. And There's stories in Genesis that talk about revelation. So from the beginning of the Bible to the end of the Bible, Jesus was mentioned 2,000 years away from when he was even born. There's 40 authors, 66 different books, and they're all preaching the same message. And when you ever have doubt in things, it's like what Amanda was saying yesterday, you can go to the Bible and you can find the truth about yourself. If someone tells you, you know, you're not worth it, go to the Bible. If someone tells you, if you have a question, go to the Bible. The Bible has all these stories, and not that, it's not even boring. Like, you'd expect it to be boring because it's old, like Bill, but but it's not even boring. It's got a lot of stories in it, and it's got life lessons in it that we need to know. And the sword, I mean, obviously you use a sword to, like, stab people. Like, it gets a little gory, but that's how you fight back. And the good thing is the battle is the Lord, so we don't really have to fight, but we have that sword. And when we use the Bible, the devil goes, ow! And the devil's like, oh my gosh, stop it, it's hurting me. And we say the name of Jesus, he goes, oh my gosh, stop it. And the sword of the Spirit is how we fight back. Let me grab something really quickly. I'll be back. Oh, do you like my boat? Yeah, look, it's even got a wheel on it. It's really cool. So imagine you're the boat. You see how clean and, like, bouncy it is, kind of? It's kind of deflated because I ran out of air in my lungs. Imagine your life is the boat. You're living life, cruising along, chilling. Everybody loves you. People argue over whose turn it is to be with you. Life's gnarly. And then someone says, you know, you're ugly. I hate you. You'll never be good enough. You're not worth it. You're not going to make it to heaven. We were only friends with you because we had to. Like, you're annoying. Get away from me. You're fat. You're terrible at what you do. The boat starts deflating, and it's not going to float. It hurts you, and it affects you. It even affects the way you treat others. You start taking people down with you. Because this is technically a baby boat because it's got, like, little legs in it. I don't think a baby's going to stay afloat in that. I don't think anybody's going to stay afloat with that. So the boat starts taking people down with it. And you start taking people down with you when people say those things. And it even says in Proverbs 17:22, a joyful heart is good medicine, but a crushed spirit dries up the bones. So you start losing friends. And no one wants to be friends with you because they don't want to sink, or they don't want to feel the way you feel too. They don't want to be that sinking boat. No one wants a heart that's hurt. And all this hurt, it can't be fixed. Technically, it can't be fixed. It leaves scars. Even if you try to fix it, you'll still feel the punctures it left in the boat. It left holes in the boat. Even if you patch the boat, you'd still notice that there was a hole there at some point. It can never be fully healed. Technically. The hurt is so bad that you take it out on others and start repeating the things you hear, whether they were in your head or someone told them to you, and then you feel dirty. And you try to fix it yourself. Maybe you try to cover it up with video games or being someone who you're not really. Maybe you try to feel better with drugs or alcohol or dating or really anything. Maybe you try to just distract yourself. Maybe you try to gain that attention back. Maybe you just try to ignore the problem. Here's the thing. Do you think that's going to float? Probably not. And it's not going to keep us afloat, and those little tapes are not going to hold it together. They're going to fall off at some point, and once it hits a storm or once it hits water, it's just going to sink again, and you're going to sink with it. And maybe trying to ignore those problems will work for a little bit, or maybe trying to ease that pain will hurt for a little bit, but it's not going to keep the boat afloat through the storm. So then you feel dirty and think, wow, I'm worthless. No one even wants me here. Why am I even alive? Believe it or not, a lot of people think like that. I used to think of all the people that would actually care if I passed away, and I couldn't think of anyone outside of my family. I thought, you know, people might be like, oh, bummer, and carry on with life, but I didn't think anybody would actually grieve or be upset about it. And the truth is, there are so many people that care about you and love you and want to be around you, and the more that you use what God's equipped you with, the more you learn that. And when we accept God into our hearts, he makes us not only good again, but you can never be perfect without him, and you can never be brand new without him. And here's the thing. When we accept God into our hearts and we let him guide us, he makes us not only new again, he makes us better. He makes us duckies. And wait, check this out. It even does this. And guess what? This is going to stay afloat. It's bouncy. It's got more air than that one ever had. And it's not going to sink. God doesn't make you this rebuilt. He doesn't make you this piece of crap. He makes you something totally new, something beautiful, something that you can never be without God. And he takes the brokenness and bitterness inside of you, and he replaces it with joy and happiness. And sure, there's still chaos around you, but it won't break you. And when you accept Jesus into your heart, he's right there with you through it all. And when you accept him into your heart, he not only makes you new, but better than you could be without him. It's an unfair battle. Here's the thing. God's not fair. If God was fair, we'd all be hung on that cross. We'd all be in hell. God took everything and took it on him. He took the only perfect sacrifice on this world, the only perfect human, his son, and made all of us perfect instead. That seems unfair. The devil's probably crying down there, and he's like, stop it, it's not fair. And it's an unfair battle, because we have the creator of the world on our side. We have the creator of Beyonce. I don't know. Well, you know, like, imagine all these famous people, and he created all of these. He's on our side. Like, he created this entire world, all the beauty outside. He created the rain. He created the grass. He created the trees. He created those birds. He created butterflies. He created flowers. He created everything. Except that, like, yeah. And that's the thing. He's on our side right now. And he will always be on our side, no matter what we do. It's like when you have to play one of those, one of Gene's Goofy Goober games, and you suck at tennis, volleyball, football, soccer, hand tennis, and frisbee, and whatever else was in that weird game. So you go to your friend who's good at sports and is big and buff, and let them, you know, like, you're here, and you're like, hey, come play for me. Like, I don't want to play. Like, it's boring, and I'm going to lose anyways. And you let them take over, and you just sit there and watch everybody else get whooped by your competitor because you have, like, the biggest, buffest guy ever on your team now. And all of the losers on the other team are over there whining, like, stop it, it's not fair. And guess what? No, it's not. Anyone else love that feeling? I love that feeling. I like, you know. And God fights our battles for us. He's the biggest, tallest, bestest, greatest. And he replaced your punishment that should have been yours. And he took the battle that should have been yours, and he took it on himself to fight and to take that pain from you. And not only that, but he gave you his armor to stop anything from hitting you. It's like that song, like, untouchable, untouchable. And you don't have to go through that pain when you have God fighting your battles, building your boats, giving you armor. And even though sometimes it's a struggle to not let the world affect you, you can always go to God and say, God, take my battle for me. Stand in front of me. Bodyguard me. Be there for me. I don't need to go through this anymore. I have you with me. So I wanted to give everyone the option to invite God into your heart today. Whether you're a newer believer and you wanted to deepen your walk with God, or you did it a while back, like in preschool or something, you were just like, fine, whatever. I just wanted to give you that option today. So can everybody close their eyes really quickly? No peeking. And if you feel like it and you want to invite God into your heart, can you raise your hand? Okay, I see your hands. And you can put them back down. And if you weren't comfortable raising your hands, that's okay too. And it only matters what it means to you. And in your heart, keep your eyes closed. Imagine you're sitting next to Jesus. Imagine him reaching his hand out for you. It's just you and him. So I want everyone to repeat after me. God, I love you. And I know you love me. You died on the cross to take away the punishment of my sins. I want to invite you into my heart. Lead me with your wisdom. I trust you with my life. My heart is yours, God. Fight my battles for me. Build a new boat. Give me your armor and be my bodyguard. I want a faith like David. I want to know you like you know me. I want you to go before me and be there for me. And I know you will. So I invite you into my heart right now. In Jesus' name, amen. Good job, guys. Can we just like, yeah. And obviously, it doesn't have to be anything scripted. And if you weren't comfortable with inviting God into your heart right now, you don't have to do it now. It doesn't always have to be right now, right now. It can be any time, any second. You could be at work and you could be, God, I see you here. Like, I want you here. You could just be sitting somewhere in the grass. You could be playing a game. It doesn't have to be anything scripted. That's just what we just said means a lot to me. And that's how I invited God into my heart. And so I wanted to share it with you guys. And that's how you fight back, by not accepting defeat and keeping that joy inside of you. That hope and happiness is what keeps you alive. And if you don't let it get to you, which I know is hard, but when you have God on your side, it makes it so much easier. It means the devil's losing his battle. And God's on our side, which makes it an unfair battle. Yeah, so that's all I had today. Thank you, guys.